The Kingdom of I, Chapter 16, The Township of Narcissus. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed. The group met for breakfast in the Stars Hotel dining room. As they enjoyed another sumptuous spread, Jody confessed, "I could have stayed cuddled up in that luxurious bed for a whole day." The others nodded, and Mary added, "It was definitely one of the most comfortable nights of sleep I've ever had." "It certainly was a restful night," Stephen agreed, "but we need to get moving if we're going to make it through the city of ambition by nightfall. I know that it is a very large city and will probably take an entire day to pass through. We may even have to spend the night there." Timothy spoke up. "Andrew said that there were four small cities between Success City and the City of Ambition. Does anyone remember the name of the fourth?" "We passed Beauty City, the Village of Envy, and now Celebrity, but what was that fourth one?" A gray-haired gentleman eating breakfast at a nearby table answered the question before any of the group responded. "Narcissus, that's the one you're missing. It's a few miles up the road from here." Stephen turned to the well-groomed man and said, "Well, thank you. We appreciate the information. Do you know much about that place?" "I am well acquainted with the township of Narcissus, as I had an uncle who lived there for many years." "What does that name Narcissus mean?" Thomas asked. "The name is taken from Greek mythology. The mythical figure Narcissus supposedly fell in love with his own reflection when he was gazing into some body of water. It's an apt name for that place because the residents of Narcissus are definitely in love with themselves and feel everyone else ought to be as well." "We heard from the hotel owner here that there are quite a few former residents of Celebrity City living in Narcissus," Timothy said. "It's true. In fact, there are quite a few former residents of both Beauty City and Celebrity who now reside in Narcissus. All of them were banished for not keeping up the required standards. You can find an old movie star or former sports icon on every block, and all of them complain that their former places of residence wronged them by failing to appreciate their importance. My uncle was one of them. He was quite a baseball sensation in his youth." "Are all the residents of Narcissus from those two cities?" asked Thomas. "No, not at all. There are plenty of others from all over the Kingdom of I, but all of them share one outstanding characteristic, an incredible preoccupation with themselves. When you pass by there, you will see the town motto posted on their welcome sign. It describes them perfectly. It reads, 'It's all about me.' Every single citizen in Narcissus has an exalted sense of their own self-importance and will happily tell anyone they meet how wonderful, beautiful, talented, or brilliant they perceive themselves to be. They are also infamous for flooding social media with selfies. You can find out where they are located at any time of the day or night by simply looking at the photos they post of themselves almost hourly online. It's disgusting," the man concluded as he stood up to leave. "Where are you headed?" Timothy asked the gentleman. "I am on my way to the City of Ambition for a meeting," he answered as he gathered his coat and bag. "We are heading in the same direction," Stephen said. "Do you mind if we walk together? You seem to know the area quite well." "No problem to me, and I'm happy for the company. My name is Mr. Industrious," he said as he reached out to shake Stephen's hand. Stephen introduced himself and the group as they all gathered their belongings and began to move toward the door. Timothy and Stephen peppered Mr. Industrious with questions as they walked down the highway. "Where are you from, and what takes you to the City of Ambition?" Stephen inquired. Mr. Industrious answered, "I am from the City of Productivity, and I am representing the city at a meeting with the Kingdom of I government. We are lobbying to change some laws that currently hinder the city's progress. What about you boys? Where are you from?" Timothy enumerated the various cities those in the group had left behind, and then he added, "We are all headed to the City of Grace. Are you familiar with it?" "I once heard about it from my grandmother many years ago," Mr. Industrious replied slowly, knitting his brow as if trying to retrieve a long-forgotten memory. "But all that I recall is her saying that the people could be changed into someone else if they went to the City of Grace. I was just a child at the time, and I never understood her metaphysical mumbo-jumbo. But if such a thing were true, he chortled, I can think of a few candidates who could use such a transformation. Mr. Rich spoke up. I am quite sure everyone in the Kingdom of I could use such a transformation, since we are all quite self-centered, if you think about it. His authoritative manner seemed to affect Mr. Industrious, who looked at Mr. Rich and replied, I'm sure you're quite right at some level. But speaking of self-centered people, none eclipse the citizens of Narcissus, in my humble opinion, and we are almost to their township now. He nodded toward the walls of Narcissus, which loomed before them on the road ahead. As you can see, the highway was strategically built to pass through the center of the town so that all the world could be exposed to Narcissus and its very important residents, Mr. Industrious snickered. Just as Mr. Industrious had told them previously, the sign above the city gates read, Welcome to Narcissus, followed by the town motto, It's all about me. The gates were wide open and the group walked down the road unhindered. It wasn't long before they entered the town square where the temple of Narcissus sat proudly gleaming in the noonday sun, with crowds of people streaming in and out of the building. Do you want to take a peek at the idol the residents of Narcissus worship? It's quite a bizarre sight, strangely fascinating, you could say, Mr. Industrious offered. What is so bizarre about it? Ray asked. I consider it bizarre because the citizens here worship a three-headed idol named Me, Myself, and I. The group groaned. That does sound distasteful, said Mr. Rich. But on the other hand, observing it might be a good reminder to avoid the self-absorption the Kingdom of I always seems to foster. Stephen looked at Mr. Rich with incredulity. His depth of insight continued to surprise him. This is a good point. I will walk in there with you, Stephen offered. Mary and Jody chose to remain outside while the others walked into the Temple of Narcissus to view Me, Myself, and I. When the men returned, their faces were somber, and Ray blurted out, Mr. Industrious was right. Bizarre is the only word to describe that scene. As the group walked down the main road heading out of Narcissus, Jody asked, What exactly did you see in there? Her brother Rob answered, We saw throngs of people showering this obese three-headed statue with food and drink offerings and money and gifts of all kinds. And the worshippers were giddy and laughing, and it was as if they were all drunk. It was so very strange. Although, if I really think about it, it's not that much different than how everyone in Sports Town worshiped the idol of sports. The group was quiet for several minutes while they walked out of the township. Then Mr. Industrious spoke to no one in particular. Everyone listened as he explained more of what he knew of Narcissus. When I was young, I spent a lot of time in Narcissus when my family visited my uncle each summer. They were quite enamored with him because of his prior fame as a baseball player. He was the only member of the family who had ever gained any type of notoriety in the Kingdom of I, so they gushed over him and made him feel important, though his fame had faded long ago. Even as a young person, I noticed that both my uncle and all his friends in Narcissus constantly vied to be the center of attention. They manipulated people to get what they wanted and never for a moment considered the feelings or needs of anyone else. In fact, they insisted that people serve them. Even my grandmother, my uncle's mother, was treated like a servant by her own son. Despite all of that, none of the citizens of Narcissus ever seemed happy. Truthfully, I hate the place, he said. Your description of the people of Narcissus reminds me of something I read in the King's Book, Timothy told Mr. Industrious, and I'll read it to everyone when we stop to eat lunch. I think now is as good a time as any to stop for lunch, said Stephen. It's past noon, and there are some trees ahead where we could have a picnic in the shade. Sounds good to me, Ben said. I'm hungry. After gobbling down the bounteous lunch that the Stars Hotel staff had packed for their journey, the group leaned back against the tree trunks and listened while Timothy read from the King's Book. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous appearance, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Ha! That is the best description I've ever heard of the people of Narcissus, Mr. Industrious exclaimed, almost shouting. What book is that? Timothy answered, it's the King's book. What king are you talking about? The king who created the universe and rules the kingdom of I Am, where we are headed, Timothy explained. Mr. Industrious closed his eyes and said, oh, now I understand. He drew his words out slowly. You are religious fanatics, pursuing a mythical kingdom. Now it all makes sense to me. Mr. Industrious became silent as the group continued, listening to Timothy read from the King's book. He did not say another word as they all gathered their possessions and headed back to the main highway to resume their journey. Timothy tried to engage Mr. Industrious in further conversation, but he was reticent. Suddenly, his singular focus was getting to the City of Ambition as quickly as possible. You people are welcome to believe whatever you like, but I am not interested in chasing myths, he told Timothy matter-of-factly. Timothy's shoulders slumped. He slowed his pace until he had fallen to the back of the group. He began walking alongside Stephen. I guess Mr. Industrious won't be joining our journey, Timothy said. Don't let it disturb you, Stephen said, noticing Timothy's downcast countenance. Remember what Andrew told us? Not everyone will desire to seek the king. It's just the harsh reality of this place. I've come to realize we can't want it for others more than they want it for themselves. That has become clearer to me, too, especially after losing Blake and Shay. But Mr. I seems so engaged in conversation with us. I thought he might get hooked after hearing the words from the king's book. Timothy replied, I guess not, Stephen said, shaking his head. I think what he is most interested in is just ahead. Timothy nodded. Stephen nodded toward the city, which had just come into view as they crested a steep section of the road. The City of Ambition appeared to be no more than a mile away.